Like, what do you think of when you hear the word trans? Maybe Transformers? Transfiguration! That's what we heard about in the gospel today, right? Hopefully. But not really. That is a word that's been redefined. Sort of like the rainbow, sort of like Among Us, takes on different meanings over time. Trans, especially young people hear that, they think of transgender. And this movement that's grown tremendously and is continuing to grow. This is not a political homily, you know, here to preach the gospel of love, joy, and peace. But I also recognize, as we all hopefully do, that Jesus didn't do this outside of the context of the culture he was living in. Who were the people he went to first? You know, after gathering, I guess, his crew around him, teaching them how to share the gospel, he went to those who were most in need, those who were suffering the most. He went to the tax collectors, the prostitutes, all those who have been rejected by society, who are looked down on. You know, we need to do this too. We can't be like the Jews at the time of Christ, who kind of shunned people who are harder to be around. You know, we can't do that. We need to be like Christ to go and be close to them. And the folks who are struggling with gender dysphoria, who are identifying themselves as transgender today, are certainly among that group that is most in need of our Lord Jesus. You think if Christ was alive today, where would he be? He'd be like having coffee with folks who are wearing a rainbow flag. He'd be going to their homes, getting to know their families, their stories. He might even be hanging out in the evenings outside of Vice Versa. I don't know if he'd go inside or not. I'd like to ask him. Would you go inside the club or stay outside? I don't know. He would be there. He would be saying, these are the people who need me most because they're obviously struggling. And the world does not treat them very well. And unfortunately, members of the Catholic Church don't always treat them well either. We sometimes are like the Jews, and we don't maybe even recognize it. We're prejudiced. We look down on people who have struggles that maybe we can't relate to or we don't want to even think about. So we've got to educate ourselves just a little bit. You might know we had the talk this past Thursday on Catholic approach to gender study or gender teaching, human sexuality. That was a very powerful talk. It was like an hour and a half, the longest dinner for a dollar talk we ever had. Very powerful, very scary, very helpful to know just where the state of things are when it comes to the transgender movement in our country. Just some brief things for you all. The studies are talking about, there's like 1.6 million people, maybe in the U.S., who identify as transgender. And in the year 2020, 10,000 of these people, all ages, male and female, sought out gender-affirming surgeries. So these are folks who not only struggle with it, but they went all the way to have their bodies physically changed to try and align with the sexuality that they believe to be, you know, permanently changing themselves. It gets really scary when you know what kids are doing. From ages 6 to 17, it said almost 18,000 people from 2017 to 21 started puberty blockers and hormone therapy. And then from 2019 to 2021, a three-year period, kids 13 to 17, there were 56 of them who had genital surgeries and 776 mastectomies. These are young people who went through surgeries, permanently changed their body. This is something we don't like to understand and to know, but we need to. Because if you're not aware of the suffering that's around you, how are we going to be that bridge to Christ that they need? And this is, again, something that is going to be hard, but not impossible. First thing is Catholics that we need to know. We got to approach this with love. And if you or anyone you know is dealing with this, know that this is a safe place. Like, this is the safest place. And not from Father Brian or I hope from no one else in this community will you experience any kind of negative attack, you know, because of what you're struggling with. Of course, we all know experiencing gender dysphoria, any disordered attraction, is not sinful in itself. You're welcome here. You're loved. Just because you're dealing with this doesn't mean that you can't be a part of this community. Actually, it means you should be. Like, this is the place to find the help you need. That's number one. Number two is we got to know what the devil's doing here. It's not like he's made up a total lie and sold it to everyone who's struggling with gender dysphoria. He's working with something that's a universal experience of all human beings. See if you can follow me on this. People who struggle with gender dysphoria experience this sense that they are trapped in the wrong body. Is that not something that every single Christian experiences, every single person? Because when Adam and Eve first sinned, human nature became fallen, and we no longer were able to do the good things we want or avoid the bad things that we don't. How many of us have experienced the sensation that we're trapped in the wrong body because we can't seem to do the things we want? Even our Lord drew attention to this when he told his apostles, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." St. Paul, we know, really builds on this in Galatians. He says, "The flesh has desires against the spirit against the flesh. These are opposed to each other so that you may not do what you want." He's pointing to this fact. The human nature being fallen is no longer in accord with what is true and good. Like, we don't see clearly with our mind. And even when we do, we have our willpower that's broken and we can't always act on the goods that we want. We're all in this boat together. We all experience disordered attractions and get the sense that something's wrong. Like, this is not the body I'm meant to have. I hope you feel that at least. If you've ever struggled against sin, then you know what I'm talking about. And you know that that's not what we're made for. See, this is where the twist the devil makes. Because we as Christians know that we're not made to be locked into this disordered nature forever. That actually the transfiguration itself shines forth what's made, or what we're all destined for, and what we can experience in this life too. Sort of some of that freedom from sin. You know, we can begin to take on characteristics of that glorified and perfected body that we'll have, Lord willing, in heaven one day. That's supposed to be our hope, that through with Christ and his grace, we can find freedom evermore from this disordered, broken nature. But the devil says, "Nah, don't look at that. That's not what I want you to think of when you experience this struggle. I want you to think of the exterior. Think about how you could make your body look and maybe feel more in line with these attractions, these thoughts you have." And isn't this what the devil always does? Our whole culture says, solve your problems by looking this way, or wearing this, or owning that. The devil always wants to take us to the exterior. You have an interior problem? Don't look on the inside for transformation. Don't look ahead to the transfiguration, but rather look on the outside. How can you change the way you look and find freedom there? It's a lie, and it's not totally a lie, which is why it's kind of easy to believe and why so many go that route. No, we got to understand that's the root of this, that we're all in this together. And if you can help someone at least not consider outward disfiguration as the only way to deal with an inner struggle, that's a big help to them. A lot of folks, again, they think maybe I'm transgender, and they don't even consider any other option. We can help them by saying, wait a minute, what's underneath of this? Maybe there's something going on in your mind, in your heart, in your soul. Think about that. And being this bridge, once we recognize the heart of this problem, is, again, not a terribly difficult thing. Even thinking this Lent, our goal to do penance and to pray and to fast. What if this Lent, one of your practices, or maybe even this week, if you're like, Father, I've already dropped all of my Lenten penances. I know it's only week two. Maybe you do a little bit of study. Because to be the bridge, you really got to have something to offer people that will help them understand why the transgender kind of movement is not actually going to help them. And if you don't understand much here, or this is the first time you've really been thinking about this problem, you'd rather avoid it, consider even just reading one book, watching one great YouTube video. The talk we heard on Thursday, the woman is from the Person and Identity Project, which has a website that has tons of resources on it. If you want to be a part of the solution rather than a part of the problem here, consider educating yourself in that way. Even just one video this week. And then also, be very careful about how you speak about this issue. Maybe you're in the habit of talking down about, you know, the rainbow face paint, folks wearing drag, whatever. You know, it's okay to feel angry. It's okay to recognize that there is evil at work here. People are suffering, and it's leading to other people suffering as well. But if you aren't very careful to make sure that your anger does not lead to words or actions that are hateful, then yeah, you're going to be part of the problem. And especially if you have kids, I'm going to say be very careful how you talk about this issue around your children. Because if you do say things that are hateful or do things that are hateful, at best, your kids are going to become a part of the problem by also being hateful. And at worst, if one of your kids is struggling with this issue, you know, basically if they're going to public school, they're going to be invited to think about this stuff. And if they start to struggle with the issue, if they start to think maybe I'm transgender, and they think that you hate transgender people, this we know is one of the biggest things that leads kids to do crazy stuff, to try and escape their parents, to try and take advantage of some of the rules in the schools where teachers don't have to tell the parents what's going on in the kid's life because they're being oppressed. And that's the worst thing if you're not very careful how you talk about this around your kids. They might think that you hate them. Be very careful to be loving, be patient. When you talk about this with your kids, to make it clear, we don't hate the person. We hate sin, and we want to bring about a renewal in their life. We want to be that bridge. So consider that, like this need for us as humans to be a bridge to Christ, to those who are struggling with transgender issues, and the fact that so many of them don't even know that Christ is an option. And we can really truly be that bridge if we're kind and loving towards them. Make sure they realize that this is not just a safe place, it's the safest place. And then if we educate ourselves, so that when we're blessed, we pray to have that conversation with our kids, some other family member, a total stranger, we have some truth to give to them. And we will find, truly, that we've helped people have hope in Christ, in the transfiguration, that one day we'll be free from all of these disordered attractions, all the sin. That is the only thing that can give us freedom from the struggles we experience on the inside. No exterior surgery or therapy that the world offers can help with that. Only our Lord Jesus. In fact, he wants to do it for all of us who have a fallen nature. So be that bridge in this Lent. Maybe even consider making that part of your penance, studying up on it, and trying to get rid of any prejudice, any hatefulness you might have in your hearts, so that folks can truly find Christ through us.